All right, we're going with a little bit of a reverse thing this morning. Normally, you have lights on the stage and dim the audience. So we're just flip-flopping that a little bit this morning. And so we got a little cave effect going up here. So just give us a little leniency with that. They replaced all the lights last week, so grateful for that. But it'd be good if they get them done up here. Don't want to freak anybody out. All right, calm down. I'm going to sing. All right, here we go. Hine maton na'im shebetahim gam yachad. Hine maton na'im shebetahim gam yachad. Hine maton shebetahim gam yachad. Hine maton shebetahim gam yachad. Now, I was not speaking in tongues. Okay? But if I was, it's all right. Maybe Chad could come interpret or something. We'd be all right. But what that was Hebrew, okay? Hebrew is specifically Psalm 133:1. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to that. That's about the only Hebrew I remember, to tell you the truth. That's what happens when you take a year's worth of master's level course in 6 weeks. After 6 weeks, I knew it. 6 weeks later, I didn't know it. And so that's about the only thing I remember. Greek, still have a little bit of skill. Hebrew, I need lots of help. But Psalm 133:1, we've been walking through the last 3 weeks a series on membership matters. And this morning, as we kind of complete our series on membership matters and get to baptize 4 people, and so we're going to be going outside here in a little bit, as we get a chance to adopt and vote to adopt our new proposed membership covenant, and then, God willing, sign it as a recommitment of ourselves to one another. I want to take a minute to remind us of the gift that it is to live in covenant community with one another. Let me read Psalm 133:1, and you'll see why I want to talk about this. Here's what it says. Behold, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. It's like the precious oil on the head running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the collar of his robes. It's like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord has commanded the blessing, life forevermore. And so behold, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. And so as we wrap up this membership matters and do all those things that talk about voting and baptizing and all of those sorts of things, I want to take a minute to talk about the God-declared goodness and pleasantness that it is when brothers and sisters dwell together in unity. Okay? And the unity there specifically is going to kind of roll out in two ways. And so first of all, we're unified with Christ. Okay, so you can think of a cross, all right, two directions, vertical and horizontal. And so first of all, we're unified with Christ. That's what salvation is, all right? It is union with Christ. We are in Christ. You remember we did the Romans 8 series back earlier this summer, and it was called In Christ. And it's because in Romans 8, I'm not sure, it's got to be at least into the double digits, how many times Paul writes in Christ. In Christ, you're this. In Christ, you are that. Therefore, there's now no condemnation for those that are in Christ. Okay? And so, what does it mean specifically to be in Christ then? If that's what salvation is, it's union with Christ, it's being in Christ, then what does that mean? Being in Christ is that you have responded in faith to the free offer of salvation that's found in Christ, right? The free offer of himself for the forgiveness of our sin and life everlasting. And you've surrendered to him as your Lord and Savior, all right? That because of what Jesus has done in his life, his death, his burial, and his resurrection in our place for our sin as our substitute, okay, because of what Jesus has done, not what we do, because God made him who knew no sin to become sin so that we might become the righteousness of God in him, that exchange that Chad was talking about where Jesus takes our sin and then gives us his righteousness. because of that, because of what he's done, all who believe now stand in Christ as righteous before the God of the universe, based on nothing we've done, but on what Jesus has done for us. And so because of that, all who would place their faith in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior will be saved. There are no stipulations. Anyone who will simply repent and believe, Jesus will make you his own, adopt you into his family, and you are now in Christ, united with him. And so this union, this vertical union then, all right, it has eternal implications. Okay, this week, dear family in our church lost a loved one. We had a funeral that I went to yesterday. And there's no place where our own mortality is more thought about than at a funeral. And that's where, like, everything that we talk about, all right, everything that we read, all the promises of God, like, that moment, they're there. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. Everything that we're building to, all right, starts there in a lot of ways. And so eternally, all right, this union with God is a glorious, great thing. We are forever going to be with him in his presence. Forever. Everything perfect. Everything made right. But it's not just then. It's also right now. Right? Also right now. So if you think about this, I want you to think about this. If you are in Christ, okay, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you now have community with the God of the universe. He knows the number of hairs on your head. He loves you. The one who hung the stars is now your personal father. And he never leaves or forsakes us. He's not angry with us because Jesus already took that away. That's what the cross was for. And so now all he has towards us is his perfect father love. Always working in us and through us for his glory and our good. Okay? It's not just for then, but it's for now also. Revel in those things. He is mine. I know I am his. And so how pleasant and good it is when brothers dwell in unity. And the unity, all right, first of all, is that vertical union with Christ. But then that is to work itself out in a horizontal plane, all right? To work itself out horizontally in our lives. And so horizontal unity is the way in which through the cross of Christ, we, all right, are reconciled to one another and called to live in unity as the body of Christ. And particularly for us here, the local church body of Christ called Providence. All right, because the imagery of the body in the New Testament is both of the universal plane and the local plane. All right, the universal church and the local church. And so just think about it for a minute, all right? A lot of this is review, but the body. What is a body? A body's eyes, its ears, its nose, its mouth, its arms, its legs. That's us, right? Some of us ears, some of us are nose, some of us are mouths, some of us are bigger ones than others. Some of us are legs, some of us are arms. But the point is that every part needs each other, a healthy body, right? Consists of all of these things. Warts, wrinkles, moles, and all. It's a body. Okay? And so we need each other. I need you. You need me. We need each other. That's how God designed this to work. It's his church. He designed it. All right? And he designed it, again, for his glory and our good. But somewhere along the way, And I don't know if it's because of, you know, we're American and we just have this rugged individualism that flies in the face of community and commitment. But somewhere along the way, we've just like overly personalized our relationship with God. Now, I've picked on this before, and I don't want to misconstrue it because this is a perfectly fine statement understood properly. But we've all heard the statement, the phrase, personal relationship with Christ. Okay? That's fine and dandy. I use it all the time. It's a good statement. I'm not saying it's not. All right? When it's understood properly, it is a wonderful statement. All right? It's good and right. Because understood properly, what it's talking about is you have to individually choose to place your faith in Christ. Your mama can't do it for you. Your daddy can't do it for you. I can't look into my children's heart and say, yes, you're a believer. They have to do that. Now, there's evidences that we can see, but individual, you have to choose a personal, all right, a personal relationship with Christ. And so understood properly, that's what it's talking about. But I think sometimes our culture, the individualism stuff here, has misconstrued it to the point where a personal relationship with Jesus becomes a private relationship with Jesus. Okay? As long as I'm good with Jesus, and I don't need people. I don't need the church. I don't need to live in community with brothers and sisters. I'm good. But you're not going to find that in here. You're going to find, hey, be the body. Be the body. You need, and they need you. And so sometimes we'll let our faith move, right, from personal to private, and we begin to wrongly view the church then merely as a tool for our own self-improvement project. All right, it's like going to Ace Hardware, where you go pick up a little something when the plumbing's clogged, and you go get a little something when something's not right. It's my self-improvement project. Because after all, a lot of times the way we live is the world's about me. I'm the center of the universe. The world's all about me. And so every question is, what can I get out of this? What's in it for me? And when our mindset gets there, and when our mindset moves from personal faith to private faith, and we begin to view the church as a tool for our own self-improvement, right? As one guy put it, we rob ourselves of the community and service that both sanctifies and saves us and is used by God to grow and bless others. I need you, you need me. All right? That's life in the church. And so to be clear, how good and pleasant it is, Psalm 133, to be clear, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. Christianity is not about you. It's not about me. It's not a private venture. I'm not the center of the universe. You're not the center. We're not the center of the universe. God is the center of the universe. And he has told us to live in vertical community, vertical unity with him, and horizontal community and unity with one another. Where we live for others, not ourselves. Where we say with Jesus, not my will, Father, but yours be done. Where we fulfill Jesus's command to us in John 14. In John 13, 34, where he says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. Where we fulfill and live out Philippians 1, 27. Where it says, only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come to see you or am absent, and remember, he's writing to a church, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, all right, one accord here, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. That's what we do. That's who we are. But when we approach life with a mindset of what's in it for me, what can I get out of this? That is not the question of a covenantal God. And that's not to be question of a covenantal people. And that's consumerism, okay? Looking at it as a tool for self-improvement, like it's a commodity that doles out religious goods and services, but the church is not a commodity. The church, like J.R. Vassar put it, is a people that you enter into covenant with and say, we're going to join hands together. Lay our lives down for one another. Love each other. Serve one another. Not cast each other out when we perform poorly, but give ourselves fully to one another for the sake of Christ's mission here on this earth. And when brothers and sisters dwell in that kind of unity, it is good and pleasant. And so for us here at Providence, to help us define the parameters of what it means to be the local church here at Providence, we use what's called a membership covenant. Been using one for 4 years. Ever since we were founded, we began using a membership covenant. And today we're going to vote on a new one here in just a little bit. All right, and all a membership covenant is the ethical counterpart to a doctrinal statement. And so I've said it 3 weeks in a row. We have a statement of faith here at Providence. It's called the Baptist Faith and Message 2000. That's our statement of faith that summarizes what we understand the Bible to teach. Membership covenant that we've written summarizes how we understand the Bible to teach that we are to live that then, to live it out. Okay, so that's what a membership covenant is, and it's a summary of the way we intend to live it, pledging to one another that I'm going to pray for you, that I'm going to love you, that I'm going to hold you up, I'm going to encourage you, I'm going to edify you. This is what we're pledging to one another. That I'm going to speak words of life into you, that I'm pulling for you, I'm with you. I'm pressing you on to be all that Jesus wants you to be, just as you're pressing me on to be all that Jesus wants me to be. I'm going to hold you accountable, just as you hold me accountable. I need you. You need me. That's what a membership covenant is. Very similar to what the people of God did upon returning from exile in Nehemiah 9 and 10. Covenanting together that we're going to live this way now. We're not going to do this. We're going to live this way now. And so through covenanting together, we're saying also that we're in this together to fulfill God's mission in this world, to create worshipers of himself on every corner of the globe, every tribe, every tongue, every nation, every language. And for us then to be continually changed, not conformed to the pattern of this world, but transformed into the image of his Son. And so in a nutshell, this membership covenant is saying, I am all in. I am here, individually and corporately, yoking together with this covenant community to worship and enjoy God and lead others to do the same. I'm in. When God said, summarized the church like this, the gospel of Jesus Christ reconciles us to God and one another. Vertical, horizontal, right? And one another. Not to be a subculture, but to be a counter-cultural community right in the middle of culture. We don't hide. We seek to transform by the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so this journey to worship and enjoy God and lead others to do the same is inseparably corporate. We do it together, okay? It's not private, it's corporate. Walking in covenant community as a church. And when brothers and sisters dwell in that kind of unity, vertical and horizontal, God declares, behold, how good and pleasant that is. And he's right, because he's always right. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the gospel of Jesus Christ that reconciles us to you. That Jesus came and did for us what we could not do for ourselves. And saved us. And so we praise you. We thank you. And Father, we thank you that the gospel of Jesus Christ not only reconciles us to you, but to one another. And that it's not, that in Christ now it's no longer about me. But I lay down my life for my brother, for my sister, as Jesus laid down his life for me. That I consider others before I consider myself. That the family of this church carries every bit, if not more, weight than blood family. And so we thank you for that. Father, we pray now with thanksgiving for all that you've done in this church over the last 4 years. We pray now for your blessing upon this church, and that as we move to vote and adopt this new membership covenant, that it would be a tool to press us on towards godliness, towards mission, towards you. And so we ask it in Jesus' name.